Everybody, and welcome to episode 125 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who was Mike Pence's makeup artist for last night's vice presidential debate, Brian. Brian, looking sharp as always this week, my friend. How are you?
Doing fine. I'm feeling a lot of pressure as the New York Yankees, the team that I live vicariously through, are on the brink of elimination. I mean, during these unprecedented times, New York could, was hit so hard back in March and April. I don't want to compare what we did to, having survived 9/11, but it was way worse. The COVID pandemic, it was not long ago. You would turn the news on and you would see forklifts that were taking body bags out into refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals because the morgues were filled and overflowing with dead bodies from the pandemic. New York could really use a win in 2020. And I think that the way we're going to get it is if the New York Yankees win the World Series. I mean, it'll basically be as if nothing bad happened to New York this entire year.
All right, we'll see what's happening. They're up 2-0 right now, so we'll keep track of that game, obviously. We do want to give a quick plug, as always, as we do every week, for our Patreon, which you can join by visiting ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click on the button to join and become a patron. But also, let's give a quick plug this week for those listeners out there. We would appreciate it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts. Also, if you like the show, give us a review. Just don't click the stars. Type something out, even if it's something innocuous like Brian makes me moist, and give us 5 stars. We would definitely appreciate that. I mean, I'm not saying Brian has to make you moist, but if he does, so much the better.
I would like to make people moist if that's possible.
Yeah. But in the meantime, let's have a drink.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Drink of the week.
What are you drinking on this this cool fall evening?
If there's anything that you should know about me, Ron, is the fact that I am all about tradition.
You are.
And I'm hearing myself again. Ron, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, I went with our good friends at Cheshire Brewing, not to repeat it again, but they are a local small business that we love to support. They came out with yet another new beer this week. This week's excitement from them is a ginger snap seasonal ale, clocking in at a robust 7.1%. So I rolled down there today, got a growler, and let's see how this goes.
That looks like a hefty delivery method. Is that the growler, or is that like a mug that you've got?
That's a personalized mug with my initial in it.
You know what? You are a fancy fuck.
I am. Not that we, just real quick for our friends at Broken Goblet, I do want to point out that they now have shipping available. So if you live in the great state of Pennsylvania, you can have their beers delivered right to your door. Unfortunately, New York, New Jersey, you're still out of luck. But if you are in, East Jibip, Pennsylvania, Central PA, York, somewhere out in the boondocks, you can have the deliciousness of Broken Goblet Brewery delivered right to your door.
Now, is there any way that I don't live in Pennsylvania. So is correct. There any way you think that it's considered acceptable if I were to try to have somebody who lives in Pennsylvania order the beers for me, hold them for me, and then I would come personally to pick them up?
You can always ask somebody to do that. But more importantly, what are you drinking this week?
Ron, as long as there is still breath within my New York Yankees, I will be drinking the Pinstripe Pils.
Nice. And listener Billy said he is about to pour himself a shot of the Southern Tier Pumpkin Whiskey. I know he mentioned he was going to try and get the vodka, but I didn't realize they had a pumpkin whiskey too. That actually sounds pretty good.
I'm imagining it is pretty good, but I'm not as much of a fan of the pumpkin flavor as you seem to be.
So you're not American is what you're telling us.
Well, let's put it this way. When I saw the first leaf fall off the tree earlier last month, I did not, unlike you, immediately run out to put on my scarves, my black leggings, my Uggs with a jean jacket so I could go to brunch with my girls.
I picture you as a pashmina kind of guy.
I never understood the fucking what it was. It wasn't really a blanket. It was just like in the blanket category.
Yeah, I'm not quite.
What was a pashmina?
Ooh, who knows? Who knows? All right. Well, toast to you. Cheers. And let's keep moving along.
This
week
in
Racism.
So only a couple of stories this week, Brian, but one especially horrible. Second. The first one is out in Beverly Hills, California. Salahi Bembury was stopped by police while walking across the street after shopping in the area. He had just come from the Versace store, which is appropriate, as Bembury is the vice president of sneakers and men's footwear for Versace. The police stopped him for jaywalking, but then decided to pat him down and search him for weapons. Bembury filmed most of the interaction, during which he comments on how he literally designed the sneakers that were in the shopping bag the police searched. Of course, Beverly Hills Police Department issued a statement afterwards saying that it, quote, does not protect the public based on race. Brian, you live in New York. You're a man who crosses a lot of streets. When have you ever been stopped by the police for jaywalking?
I've never been stopped by the police for jaywalking. One time when I was in college, I had a police officer stop me while I was walking in the middle of the street on the double yellow line. And I was stumbling drunkenly, so I could not have been walking a straight path. But this guy turned his lights on as he pulled up behind me and yelled at me to get home.
There you go. No beat downs, no frisking, no shooting.
No, none whatsoever. I have been stopped by police officers in the New York City subway system and asked to have my bag searched. That's happened twice.
Interesting.
Fortunately, neither of those times was I carrying drugs or weapons on me.
Good call. Well, this gentleman stopped for jaywalking. We're going to put a little pin on that, because I want to come back to that a little later. I think this ties in interestingly to another story we'll be talking about later in the episode.
Okay.
The other story, another horrific event that seems to happen more often than not in America. This in Wolf City, Texas. Police shot and killed Jonathan Price, a 31-year-old black man, this past Saturday after he tried to intervene in a fight at a gas station convenience store. Witnesses say Price tried to break up a domestic argument inside of the store, which eventually moved outside. Police arrived and reportedly used a taser on Price before shooting him four times. Price had been a star athlete at the city's public schools growing up and had returned to his hometown to live, where he worked as a trainer and also worked for the city public works department. There were a number of people that posted on social media after his death how much he had contributed to the local community. The officer that shot Price, Sean Lucas, has been charged with murder after a preliminary investigation by the Texas Rangers found that his actions were not, quote, objectionably reasonable. Lucas was initially put on administrative leave and then fired due to violating city and department policy. Body camera footage from that night shows that Price attempted to shake Lucas's hand at the beginning of the confrontation. Lucas has hired attorney Robert Rogers to defend him. Rogers is best known for defending Amber Geiger, the former Dallas police officer who was found guilty of murder and sentenced to 10 years after shooting and killing Botham Jean in his own apartment.
Yes. That was when she thought she was in her apartment, but was on the wrong floor. And somehow she was the victim.
Yes. So this Mr. Rogers seems to be finding a little niche for himself there in Texas. And unfortunately, defending police that kill unarmed black men is becoming quite the little cottage industry in America.
I imagine that he has more business on his hands than he can handle.
Also, I don't know if you saw, I didn't get a chance to read the entire article, but the Attorney General of Kentucky is now attempting to block jurors that were part of the grand jury for the Breonna Taylor investigation, blocking them from commenting in public about any discussions that they may have had as part of the grand jury. So he is trying to silence people from talking about that case.
Justification for that, or you didn't get that far into it,
but I mean, you know, he has been called out many times, most recently by Megan Thee Stallion on Saturday Night Live this past week, and I think he is very upset that, you know, it's still, even with the grand jury investigation, still smells a little bit like a cover up.
And let's be truly honest, when Megan Thee Stallion is calling you out, you know that you have tapped into the zeitgeist of America. The fact that I now know, thanks to Saturday Night Live this past week, I am aware of Megan Thee Stallion and I know who she is. Did you watch Saturday Night Live this week?
You know, I caught some of it. I typically would go back and watch some of the bits on YouTube afterwards. I didn't watch the whole episode, but I caught parts of it.
You saved yourself whatever bit of time. Yeah. It wasn't funny.
Right.
Let's get that out there. But it also, and this was an odd thing, but it also felt like it was unnecessary. They were trying to do stories about, you know, current events and politics and Trump and wearing masks. But then they would throw in a childish bit where people were trying to change their name. And it was just like, you know, Dank Nasty was like people. And it was just like, not only is this not funny, but it just genuinely feels irrelevant. Like there's so many things going on in the world right now. So many serious issues that are trying to be addressed that if, you know, you're going after it's not even low hanging fruit, but it's just, you're going after things that are no longer of significance.
Now, did you see they actually paid people to be in the audience for the episode?
No. How'd that happen?
Apparently that was their way of getting around the restrictions in New York City for having a certain number of people in an indoor location, is that they weren't just gathering. They were technically being paid to attend a performance.
Are they doing that all season long?
I don't know, because if they are, I mean, I'll take some of that Saturday Night Live money.
Listen, we're all about getting paid. Speaking of New York City restrictions, I would like to point out that thanks to the recent spikes in positive testing for the coronavirus, certain neighborhoods within Queens and Brooklyn are, depending on their proximity to these, clusters of positive cases, non-essential businesses are being shut down. You're seeing restaurants, which just recently been allowed to have indoor dining immediately. If you're in a red zone, there's red, yellow, or red, orange, yellow, or I don't know what they are. What I'd like to point out is that I live on a border of the red and orange. So across the street from me is a swath of about, I would say probably about 30 blocks where non-essential businesses have been shut down. Fortunately, I'm on this side of the street. So the podcast, which we know is an essential business,
yes,
because at the peak of the pandemic, despite the fact that my body was being ravaged by the coronavirus, I didn't get Regeneron. Nobody was offering me Regeneron. Is that the name of it?
I think you got it, actually.
Really?
I think you got it.
Wow.
Is that Burger King across the street from you still open?
Still open, but that seems
like a COVID hotspot.
Absolutely. I the trash literally are still eating. But also, this was the thing that I'm not completely upset about, is that there's a hotel across the street from me that decided to use their outdoor patio space as an event space and would pack that thing with probably 50 people, and it probably should hold about 20. But, you know, clearly there's no social distancing going on over there, but that's not the point. It's the fact that the salsa and merengue music that is blasting in my direction until 11 o'clock on weekends, not appreciated.
Understood. Understood. Is well, I mean, maybe you'll talk about that a bit more with our beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week. Beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week, my friend?
Orthodox Jews.
Again?
Yeah. Out of control. They are protesting every night. No social distancing, mass gatherings, hundreds of people in the streets. They are protesting that nothing should be closing in their neighborhood because the positive tests that are taking place are insignificant, that this is a tyranny by Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio. And a reporter, I think it was yesterday, was actually roughed up and assaulted by a gang of Orthodox Jews for trying to report on the protests.
I thought they were peaceful individuals.
These are not. And also, this is where you may get a chuckle. I know I did. But one of the chants that was going on last night was Jew Lives Matter.
Very sensitive. Yeah. The optics aren't great, but I guess we shouldn't be.
No. So and if you look at the maps of the areas where these high COVID tests are coming in positive, these clusters, if you would, coincidentally overlap predominantly Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods.
It's been a problem that's been growing. And yeah. And clearly they don't want to follow the rules, and they don't care if they hold super spreader events and who gets sick because of it.
They believe that they are above it. They think that they're too good for it. And it's a problem. This is a definite problem, and a solution needs to be what's going on. I see your eyes. Your eyes just bugged out.
I see where you're going. And I think you just need to stop. I see where you're going with your solution, and you're going to make a very inappropriate reference. And
I should finalize the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. So Brian, I know sometimes you feel that my beefs are trivial, petty.
Your words, not mine.
Small in relation to, you know, what is going on in the world. But I feel this week I am speaking for the world. I'm speaking for people that are oppressed around the planet. This is a big beef this week.
Ooh.
My beef this week is with TV shows that feel that 8 episodes constitute a season. And I have a problem with that. Back in the old days, you know, you got 26 episodes in a season. Then we got the streaming stuff, and it was pretty much 13. And you're like, all right, I can deal with 13 episodes. Then some shrunk it down to 10. Now we're seeing, case in point, Utopia on Amazon Prime, and also The Boys on Amazon Prime, both 8 episode seasons. It's bullshit, Brian. Put in the work, give us at least 13 episodes, especially during a pandemic when we need that sweet, sweet content to get us through the nights.
All right. I can see that. I just think that the, how do I put this politely? It feels like you are holding on to old Hollywood. And old Hollywood was 23 episodes. Old Hollywood was one episode at a time. Old Hollywood was, hey, let's get some 14-year-old boys and molest them by the pool so that we can promise them and their parents movie roles. And next thing you know, they're doing movies with Corey Feldman and Corey Haim. Like, that's old Hollywood. New Hollywood, woke. There is no longer any molestation of children. There is no more 23 episodes. There is no more one episode a week. And I would think that somebody as forward-facing like yourself would embrace this new change.
So you were saying we as Americans don't deserve at least 13 episodes?
I'm saying that you deserve the world. America, as I've seen it, I think they deserve 8 episodes.
Me, for me. So lots of craziness going on this past week.
Really? I thought it was a pretty quiet week. It was a real quiet week.
I mean, the fact that since our last episode, President Donald Trump has been diagnosed, treated, and seemingly cured of COVID-19 really shows you what a week can do.
And he's tested positive for the antibodies.
Which is, I mean, the man's body is a machine. And I think, you know, every White House physical that he has gone through, that the lamestream media downplayed and disbelieved when his doctor said he is going to live to be 200 years old. He is fit. He is 6'3", 123 pounds of pure muscle. And people said, no, that's a lie. And look who is laughing now. Maybe not laughing because he seems to have some breathing issues still. But he is definitely hacking and laughing a bit.
I got a kick out of the fact that he was refused to he needed to be seen as not being weak because he had tested positive. So and it seemed like at every opportunity he could do, he made a point of being seen in public without wearing a mask.
And then also, let's not forget the little joyride around Walter Reed in a hermetically sealed SUV with Secret Service agents on the inside.
You don't know that that's actually hermetically sealed. You don't know that.
I don't know that. I've
traditionally
heard
the tank, as they refer to his presidential limo, is hermetically sealed to prevent any type of gas attack on the limo. We don't know that it has not been modified in some way to allow for the movement of air inside and outside of that vehicle.
And listen,
we assume it's hermetically sealed, but we don't actually know that for a fact.
Just because the White House has had more positive COVID cases in the last week than 11 countries, you don't focus on that.
They have very safe protocols in place in the White House. Very safe. I would trust my children and my grandmother.
That's why he took off the mask when he got off the helicopter before going into the White House, because it is so safe inside. He didn't need the mask anymore. And masks don't work, Brian.
Well, this is the kicker about it. And I understand, like, the thought was, don't be seen weak, be seen strong. But if you're sick, you're infected by the virus, wearing a mask is not going to help you in any way. The only reason at that point to wear the mask is so that the people around you don't get sick.
Right.
So if there could not be
here,
exactly.
He doesn't care about other people.
Does not care.
What I also enjoyed was they had released some photos of him working in different rooms at Walter Reed.
Working.
And look how hard Donald Trump's working. And then someone checked the time stamps on the picture, and they were literally like 10 minutes apart. So very close stage.
Oh, and what I thought was a little petty, I will admit it was a little petty, was that they were mocking him for signing his name on blank pieces of paper.
Listen, when you are as busy of a man as Donald Trump is, I will say the busiest president in the history of this country, you have to just sign blank pieces of paper and then wait for the legislation to catch up to you.
He has done more in the 4 years that he has been president than any president ever in the history of this country. So many people are saying that he's done more than anybody else.
I mean, most of it bad, but he's done it. You have to give him credit for that.
What I also got a kick out of was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Also testing positive. And then announcing it immediately saying that he has checked himself into a hospital. One does not simply check into a hospital. It's well, not I, like a hotel. You're familiar with people checking into a hotel. I mean, I'm not going to use this as a reference to the fact that you are unemployed and that you used to work in the hotel. That would be a low blow and it would be completely unnecessary. You don't simply just pick up the phone, call the hotel and be like, yeah, I just, you know, I have a contagious disease. So I'd like to come into a place where people have weakened immune systems. And I'm just going to hang out until I feel fine.
But if you look at Chris Christie, doesn't he strike you as a man that on most days of the week normally probably should be under medical observation?
I would say the man needs to start exercising and eat a healthier and eat healthier foods.
Didn't he?
Let's not kick a man when he's down.
All right. Sorry. My bad. That was the other thing, too, is a lot of people were saying that if you felt good that Donald Trump had COVID, you were just as bad as him.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay.
I'm okay. No. That is what he that, you know, and I do believe that there is something, whether it's karma, whether it is, you reap what you sow. But he is a man who has attacked people. He has made a career out of attacking people. He has made a career out of mocking people, at pointing out people when, you know, they are at their worst. I do not understand why, his supporters would sit there out of nowhere and decide at this moment that, all of his, the way he has treated others should be just completely ignored. Because we need to treat him sensitively. The man is not sensitive to others. So why should he receive that simply because of his position in the country? We don't live in that world anymore.
The other question I have is what is going on with Melania? Because she apparently tested positive as well. And you have heard like nothing about her. So
that's not true. We've leaked videos. There's audio that's been leaked of her. Where she's talking about the fucking Christmas and the fucking people with the porn hookers.
These goddamn migrant children need to be pulled from their families.
I cannot win.
I'm not sure if that's her accent.
Well, this is the thing. I read today, and I don't know how accurate it is, but 34 people within the White House sphere have tested positive from coronavirus. They're not sure exactly where, how it was brought in. Earlier today, I believe on a Fox News interview, Trump said that he believes he got sick from coronavirus from families of Gold Star military.
Yeah,
Gold Star family members.
When they had the reception, they get right in his face because they want Donald Trump's breath on them.
Well, no, because they want to get as close as they can to tell him how much they support him.
That too.
So it wasn't hope.
Why not blame families that have lost a loved one in the military?
I heard from somebody at that I work with earlier this week that he genuinely believes that there is a likelihood that the Democrats spread the coronavirus in the White House to sabotage the reelection campaign during the last month of the presidential election.
There was, and I can't remember, I'm drawing a blank on her name now, but there was a Republican congressional candidate she had lost in her primary, but she's still Deanna something or other. And she was like,
Deanna Taylor?
I might have been. Where she said, doesn't anyone find it weird that no high-profile Democrats have contracted COVID, and yet our president and the White House has? And literally the internet rose up as one entire body and said, are you a fucking moron? The people who follow the science aren't getting sick. The people who literally will stand 2 feet in front of each other and breathe heavily in each other's faces are getting sick.
Yeah.
So now the Presidential Debate Commission announced today that the October 15th debate would be virtual. And Donald Trump has responded saying that he will now not participate.
And what did he say? Why is it because he won't be able to interrupt?
I'm not quite sure why. My assumption is that he has realized probably at this point the only way he can beat Joe Biden is if Joe Biden dies before the election. So if he can somehow get in a contained area close to Joe Biden and breathe on him, maybe that enhances that opportunity.
But see, I think that Trump has a very strong case when this thing hits courts.
When what hits courts?
The lawsuits that are going to be filed when the election results are announced that Biden is winning certain states.
The fake election that's coming up, that one?
Listen, this man spent an entire campaign arguing how the entire election and the vote counts and everything was fraudulent, wins the Electoral College, and then immediately drops this whole argument that the election was a fraud. And now that he is down in the polls, he's arguing once again that the entire election is going to be a fraud.
So let me ask you a question about the debate. Yes. Before we go. So let's say the presidential commission holds firm. They leave it a virtual debate. Do you think Donald can actually has it within himself to give up 90 minutes of airtime and not do the debate?
No.
Yeah, I think he's posturing right now, trying to get them to reverse course. But I think he will at the end of the day, he will do it.
I do believe that. Let me rephrase it. Do I think that he would allow Joe Biden 90 minutes of uninterrupted questioning in prime time? No. Do I think that he could go to Fox News for a 90-minute interview? Yeah, I think he would do that going up against Biden. I could easily see him doing something like that.
And did you catch the vice presidential debate last night?
I did not. I had better plans. I went out for beers with a good friend.
Oh, all right. You have good friends that you go out with. And
listen, as New York City is facing this terrible second wave and the lockdowns are imminent, in some cases have already begun, you've got to eke out whatever bits of pleasure you can. You know, it's all about supporting the job creators.
Understood. I will say this: it was a very uneventful debate.
Oh, that's a shame. What about the fly?
Yeah, the fly was funny, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, again, if that's the biggest thing people are talking about a fly landing on Mike Pence's head, and hopefully it wasn't a female fly, because if it was, Mother is going to be pissed off. No question.
I saw a good tweet that said that they hoped that fly didn't hatch any eggs in his hair, because he would be obligated to keep those flies to full term.
I mean, the fly also probably needs to self-quarantine for 14 days, because Mike had the pink eye, which is a potential symptom of the COVID. So who knows?
When did Mike have pink eye?
At the debate. Everybody was mentioning that.
I didn't see any reference to that.
He had a shit ton of pancake makeup on. Like, it was, I don't know what happened to him, but he has aged terribly in the last 4 years.
Probably COVID.
And I will say that Kamala, not a great debater. I mean, we saw that during the primaries when she had some very shaky performances, and she really got knocked off track a few times. Again, the moderation was very weak, and Mike Pence basically, it was one of those things where they would ask him a question. He'd be like, I appreciate you asking me this question. However, I'm going to give you an answer completely different from what you've just asked me.
Did he actually acknowledge that? Or did he just do the old, I'm so glad you asked me about military spending, because that reminds me of a conversation I had with a blue collar family in coal country. And this woman said to me that we need to, focus on our energy.
I'll give you an example. So obviously the Supreme Court was a topic, and the possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned and abortion rights reverting to the states came up. And, they asked him, would you want your home state of Indiana to ban abortions if that was the case? And he was like, you know what? I appreciate the question, Susan. Thank you for asking me that question. But I would like to go back to the fact that Joe Biden is going to raise everybody's taxes on day one.
Yeah. Okay, so that's just, that is some straight up horse shit.
Yeah. And the moderator, again, let him talk over time. We need to have a change in the debate structure. And I know it's very difficult because politicians are just, you know, they're just going to try and plow through. But if it's going to be a case of where we just hear talking points all night, then why have a debate? Just give them a half hour of time to just talk talking points. Like,
or just give them an hour of a podcast.
Right. We would have them on. Possibly. Oh, you're getting
Kamala. Kamala, talk to Kamala. Me, Kamala.
Kamala. Come on now.
What?
And it is true. I will say the one comment that a lot of people made is that, you know, it's a shame that Kamala has to, being both a woman and a woman of color, has to be careful how she responds, because, you know, she's going to be looked at as being pushy or uppity or things like that. And that was automatically the rhetoric that you saw in a number of, especially conservative outlets today. But I mean, when she did push back, you know, it was like Mike didn't have a defense for her.
But isn't there, I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of validity to what you said, but don't you think that Mike Pence is the exact same obstacle, which is that he is such a boring, vanilla white male that he's not really bringing any kind of personality or culture. Oh, yeah. Like nobody's sitting there, like, he's not inspiring anyone outside of his base. And I think the same thing said for her.
I think one of the best descriptions I saw about Mike Pence last night was they described Mike Pence as, and especially his tone of voice, as the serial killer who has to explain to you why exactly he's going to be doing each and everything that he's about to do to you. And it's true. Like, I'm going to have to handcuff you to the chair, and then we're going to have to peel all of your skin off little by little because you're an abomination to the Lord. Yeah.
But he was, but Trump needed to get the evangelicals.
Yeah. Yep.
He needed to get the religious right. And that's what Pence represented.
Did you?
Pence has proven to be a bootlicker.
Did you see Mayor Pete on Fox News leading up to the debate?
Because but I heard he shut him down.
Good Lord! So the question they asked him was in reference to Medicare for All, how Kamala had supported it, and then she becomes part of the ticket, and she doesn't support it anymore. And how can she explain that pivot? And, you know, and he was basically like, "Listen, we can talk about, you know, how, you know, when you join a ticket, you know, sometimes you have to change some of your thought process." He's like, "Let's look at Mike Pence, who's an evangelical Christian, and he's on the ticket with a man who has sex with porn stars while his wife is pregnant and pays him off."
Ooh, what did Fox say?
They were just like, "Duh, I don't know." Yeah. And then they had him back on again today, and he tore into Donald Trump about, like, you know, how can you trust anything this man has to say about his disease? Very shocking they had him back on Fox News today after his commentary prior to the debate last night. But he tore Fox News a new one each time.
It does feel like Fox, and obviously I'm not going to, it feels like they're no longer 100% Team Trump.
No, they're not.
It feels like they're like 98, 97. But you do see these instances where they will take a stab at him. Excuse me, jab. Sorry. Freudian slip. But like, there are times where they'll talk about a poll that he's losing.
I think they're definitely pivoting to where they realize they still need to support conservative voices, but that Donald Trump may be going away very soon. So I think they are trying to keep the radical right plugged in, but also start to appeal more to those moderate conservatives that may be, you know, I don't know where else. Where would a moderate C-SPAN, I guess, maybe?
Oh, I was going to say OAN.
No, OAN is far right.
Oh, what are you talking about? It's moderate.
Are you drugged up again? Are you high right now?
What are you watching?
OAN?
Yeah.
Even more right than Fox. Come on now.
The voice of the people, OAN.
You're killing me. All right. What else has been going on this week, Brian?
Jesus, like, where do you want to start? I mean,
we got that Corona in Michigan.
That was cracking news today and really concerning. Do you want to put up the photo before we get into it?
I mean, these
know what we're talking about.
We have some of the mugshots of some of the, there were 13 people charged today, in an alleged domestic terrorism plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
The word terrorism are your word. I want to go on record here that the federal government did not refer to there's fine people on both sides here.
Understood.
They were not referred to as terrorists. They were referred to as a local militia.
Well, it depends on who you're talking about, because there were six people that were charged federally with conspiracy to kidnap, of which these are four of the gentlemen, and seven other people associated with the militia group Wolverine Watchmen were charged by the state.
Okay, but none of that is terrorism. I did not hear the word terrorism being used. What I heard was just some good old boys, some people who truly love America and possibly lost their way. What we need to do is we need to bring them back into the fold. These are not people that we need to lock up for the rest of their lives. Because they love America so much.
There's clearly a look to get into this group, apparently. It's a little crazy that, you know, in this day and age, you still have people that are plotting to, like, take over state governments and all.
They
apparently met at, like, there was a Second Amendment rally that they met at. They were not surprisingly heavy anti-maskers. They were against the restrictions that the governor had put on the state during the coronavirus. To kind of jump back to this week in racism, where you had, you know, the African-American man who was stopped by police for jaywalking. In the meantime, in Michigan, you literally had white men going to the state capitol with weapons,
assault rifles
and things like that, you know, wanting to go in. Had a cop maybe taken down a name or searched somebody, you know, who knows how much sooner this could have been broken apart. But again, you're gonna pat down a black guy jaywalking for weapons. In the meantime, you've got a bunch of, you know, inbred hicks walking around Michigan with assault weapons, and you don't do anything about it. And then this is, you know, who's more dangerous at the end of the day?
Well, the idea was that these guys, this group of people, wanted to kidnap the governor of Michigan
and put her on trial,
which they would be judge, jury, and possibly executioner. They were going to put her on trial for treason because of the strict lockdown she put in place when the pandemic started. Because she did not want the coronavirus pandemic to spread wildly in her state. So these guys wanted to kidnap a governor for treason.
And to clarify,
do you know who also wants to kidnap a politician for treason right now?
Who's that?
Orthodox Jews in Borough Park, Brooklyn. They hate Bill de Blasio.
Fair enough. Just to clarify, out of these four gentlemen, only Adam Fox is charged on a federal level. The other five charged by the federal government are Ty Garbin, Caleb Franks, Daniel Harris, Brandon Caserta, and Delaware resident Barry Croft. Very random there. And then these other gentlemen you see here, William Grant Null, Michael John Null, Eric Molitor, they're being charged by the state along with Paul Ballar, Sean Fix, Joseph Morrison, and Pete Musico. And they face a variety of firearm and terror charges, which is why I use the term terrorist when you get charged with terror charges.
Now, Eric Molitor, any relation to Paul Molitor?
I believe.
Former Milwaukee Brewers.
Son, yes.
You're kidding. Are you serious?
I have no idea. I'm just throwing that.
Look, I'm so gullible. I totally would have believed that had you played that off.
So anyway,
yeah, this is the world we live in. And what I saw earlier in stories about this is that a member of the group was uncomfortable with the conversations that the group was having about targeting police officers.
They were targeting police officers. That was an issue. And of course, to keep things very secure, they were live streaming on Facebook to a private group. Because obviously, no one at Facebook is going to be looking at this stuff. So Adam Fox live streamed to a private Facebook group that also ended up including a confidential informant referring to Whitmer as this tyrant bitch, saying, "I don't know, boys, we got to do something. You guys link with me on our other location system. Give me some ideas of what we can do."
What do you think that, all joking aside, what is that other communication system likely?
Grindr.
Could be WhatsApp.
I'm going Grindr.
Oh, I see a couple bears. I see two bears right there in the middle. These two guys, and obviously they're related, so I'm not going to talk about, you know, anything inappropriate going on between them. But what I'm saying with these gentlemen is it is quite possible, not saying definite, just saying possible, that there are some topless photos of them on the internet wearing very tight jean shorts.
Listen, you want to ride on the null train. I get it. You can say it.
I want to take a hit on the crassy null.
I'm going to take their pictures down because they're freaking me out a little bit. What? All right, enough serious talk, Brian. Let's get into something very important for all of our listeners, and that's our NFL Locks of the Week.
You again. It's this is uncanny. Last week, week four of the NFL, Ron, you went 2-0 again. If you are not on DraftKings right now, betting money on our NFL Locks of the Week, I don't know what's wrong with you. Last week, Ron, you saw that the Colts were only giving 2.5 to the Chicago Bears, who you knew were overrated. I remember you saying last week, Colts winning by 8, 19-11. So you took the early game then. And this is where I'm not going to say that it was lazy, but we know you're a hometown boy and we know that you bleed green for your Eagles. You went with Philly getting 7 points against the 49ers. I remember specifically you saying, "I don't even need the points. I would do the money line if I could." Unfortunately, we don't use money lines on our Locks of the Week, folks. But if you did, wow, 7-point underdog wins the whole game. Eagles 25-20. Ron, you are 8-0 this year. How does it feel?
It feels great, but if you were going to congratulate me like that, I feel like I need to return the favor and congratulate you because you hopped on that Seattle train that I rode the week before. Seattle was giving 6.5. You're like, I feel they can cover that. They win by 8. And then you were looking at those Cowboys, home favorites by 4.5. You were like, Cowboys are a joke. Browns are the real deal. Browns, huge offensive day, coming up big, 49-38. So you also 8-0. Chef,
thank you.
Your picks, my friend.
I'm going to say this, and this is one of the things about Cleveland this year. Their quarterback, Curtis Mayfield, is underrated, does not get the respect in the league. Everyone wants to talk about the Tom Brady's, the Cam Newton's, the Pat Mahomes. What they do not want to do is acknowledge Curtis Mayfield out in Ohio. And,
it's a shame. It's criminal almost.
Absolutely. Ron, what are you going for this week?
All right. So this week, we've got the Raiders at 2-2 going in to face the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-0 at home. Raiders are getting 12 points. I think Kansas City wins the game, but I think it's a lot closer than that. So I'm taking the Raiders plus 12. And then you got the LA Rams off to a hot start going to Washington, playing against the Washington football team. NFL East, worst division in football this year. Rams are favored by 7. I'm taking them all day long.
Really interesting. I thought that you were going to go Washington this year. Anyway, that's what I like about your picks is that you don't take the easy route. Speaking of easy, I think the Browns, they had a good run, but it ends this week. Indianapolis Colts, pick them against Cleveland. I'm going Colts. I think Peyton Manning's going to have he's going to bounce back this week and bring back some luster to the great state of Indiana. Mike Pence, he brought the luster to Indiana in his vice presidential debate yesterday. Peyton Manning comes back. Colts, pick them against the Browns. Do that. Then I've got the Jets. I think they're due for it. They had an off week last week. They're getting 7 against the St. Louis Cardinals. Mm. Go Jets, take the points all the way.
I'm a little surprised you're picking the Jets. I'm a little surprised, but I mean, you've been on a roll, so I would not bet against you. So wager hard, wager heavy, but as always, bet with your head and not over it. And
bet with your big head. Don't bet with the little one, because sometimes when you bet with the little one, you get in trouble. Speaking of getting in trouble, I've got some corrections from last week.
Crap. Did we screw some things up?
Yeah. And what's odd is the fact that, you know, it's we do a lot of research for this show.
So I call you Encyclopedia Brian, because you were just in the books constantly leading up to this podcast.
My entire life is researching for this podcast. Unfortunately, Ron, you let me down.
Okay.
Last week, when you were doing your story on ISIS, you stated that Abu Ali al-Ambari was the original leader of ISIS, when in fact he was actually a deputy of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who is actually the first leader of that terrorist organization. So you switched the names of the individuals and you got that wrong. But I'm not perfect. No. Last week, when we were talking about the bloated American military budget, I made a comment that I said that the U.S. spends more on the military than 10 times the next country. That was incorrect. The U.S. 2020 budget for the armed forces is $750 billion. And the country in second place is not one-tenth of that. China spends $237 billion. So America only spends $523 billion more than the next state. So it's almost three times the country in second place, not 10 times. I was wrong on that. Sometimes I'm guilty of exaggerating. I did not think that that was one of them, but I got it wrong.
Listen, math has never been your strong suit, so I'll let it.
This is true. That was true. And then last but not least, once again, and this one's on me, when we were discussing global warming, I made the comment that the rate of global warming has not increased whatsoever over the past decade. And one of our listeners reached out, listener Robert Kraft from Jupiter, Florida, reached out, sent me a link to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's 2019 Global Climate Summary. And what they found was, I'm going to read this here because it's a lot of information. The combined land and ocean temperature has increased at an average rate of 0.07 degrees Celsius per decade since 1880. However, since 1981, that rate has more than doubled per year.
Well, now that Mr. Kraft has gotten that correction, hopefully that was the happy ending he was looking for.
So apparently global warming is speeding up. I was incorrect there. Apparently the U.S. government spends way more money on military than anyone else. And ISIS has some names that are easily switchable. Listen, folks, we bring everything we can here. It's not always going to be right, but it's what we mean.
Right. And I don't want to let this comment go by unannounced, because we were talking about betting and betting with your big head and with your little head. And Billy points out that betting with little head can cost you up to $900, We cannot let a Brian strip club reference go by whenever necessary. Brian has walked away from his microphone. Shocking.
I'm back.
All right.
That one hurt because I did not see that coming.
Yes. And props for Billy giving props for my happy ending line, which Brian walked all over. So thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. What else happened this week? Brian, Facebook banning QAnon finally after 3 years of conspiracy theories.
I don't know a lot about QAnon, but I know that they support Donald Trump.
They're big on Donald Trump breaking down whatever pedophilia ring apparently is going on across the country.
In the basement of a pizzeria in Washington, D.C. that actually does not have a basement.
This is my challenge with QAnon, if you don't mind me just going on a little rant here. QAnon, to me, when you look at their conspiracy theories, when you listen to them, it sounds like stories that your 5-year-old nephew would tell you if you're having a conversation like, hey, Stevie, how's school going?
Yes.
Mommy got her credenza from Wayfair, and when it was delivered, there were 2 children in it. You know, that's great. Yeah. George Soros and Bill Gates invented the coronavirus because they want to push us to a cash-based, cashless society.
Kind of stuff. It doesn't make sense. It's almost as if QAnon has decided, no matter what conspiracy theory is presented to them, how can we take this further? And they want to keep adding layers to the onion.
Right. Donald Trump, Alex Jones, and Ben Shapiro are the new Holy Trinity. That's my new one. That's the new conspiracy. By the way, we are creating RBAnon. So we will be coming up with some conspiracy theories over the next few weeks that we are entrusting all of you to help spread for us.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think the message of our RMB Anon is that Ron actually is part of he has gone undercover in the deep state, and he himself is trying to expose the pedophile FBI.
Listen, I'm just trying to do the Lord's work and hopefully something comes from it. So we did have, we did lose some people over the past week, Brian. Early on in the week, we lost.
These ones hurt.
Bob Gibson passing away at the age of 84. For the Cardinals, spent his entire 17-year career, Cy Young Awards, Gold Gloves, World Series. It was a tough one.
Now, he played for the Arizona Cardinals?
He played for the St. Louis Cardinals in Major League Baseball, not in the NFL.
Gotcha. Listen, the stories that are told of him is that Bob Gibson changed the game. They actually had to lower the pitching mound because he was so dominant that hitters could not compete against him. He is the Michael Jordan of pitchers, I guess you could say, of the modern era.
You could, yes. We also lost famed dubstep artist Cookie Monsta. Name Tony Cook, passing away at the age of 31, will no longer be able to drop the beat, unfortunately. No word as to cause of death, but obviously 31, very young age to pass away. But probably the biggest loss this week is the passing of Eddie Van Halen at the age of 65 after an extended bout with throat cancer. Brian, however, was very happy. I cannot tell you how many times over the past few months that Brian said, if only Eddie Van Halen would die, I'd be right in it in the Ron and Brian death pool. At least 20 times.
35 points.
35 points. Jumping you up into fourth place, I think it was.
Only one other person had Eddie. And that's the key. And that was something you brought to my attention recently while I was bemoaning the fact that I had not had anybody correct is the fact that it's not just picking somebody correct, but you've got to get somebody that is not on a lot of the different cards.
Right.
You know, Eddie was he was a great guitar player. A lot of people say he was the greatest. And in his honor, and in the honor of those 35 points, I'm going to be doing a shot of using my Ron and Brian podcast. Ooh, look at that shot glass. I'm going to do a shot in Eddie's honor.
There you go. And if you want your own shot glass, obviously you can go to Ron and Brian podcast.com, and we have our web store there. Or if you go to the Patreon, depending on what level you sign up for, you can get yourself some shot glasses. But yeah, I mean, those of us that grew up in the 80s, I mean, you know, we know about Eddie Van Halen. I think probably the best guitar player ever. Played on Beat It, which is not a lot of people realize that. He did not ask really to be paid for that. He only asked for a case of beer and for Michael Jackson to eventually give him some dancing lessons for that.
Is that true?
That is very true.
Well, I guess he finished what he started.
Very nice Van Halen reference there. Since we're on guitar players, can I give you a very random piece of trivia that I learned this week that I did not know? And I'll be curious to see if you know this as well. You remember the Godzilla movie that came out in the 90s where Puff Daddy did a song for the movie to the theme of Kashmir by Led Zeppelin?
First off, Ron, don't play it.
I'm not playing
it. I know that song is on YouTube. I know that you have it lined up. I know you want to play it, but somehow show some restraint.
I will.
I do not want this show to get cut off.
So the song's called Come With Me. Again, Puff Daddy for the Godzilla soundtrack. Jimmy Page playing the classic Kashmir guitar riff on there. Do you know who played the bass guitar on that song?
Oh, Wolfgang Van Halen.
You would be incorrect in that. I'm not even sure he was old enough to pick up a bass guitar back then. 90s.
Bootsy Collins.
Tom Morell from Rage Against the Machine. Tom Morello, excuse me, from Rage Against the Machine. Played bass on Come With Me with Puff Daddy and Jimmy Page. And he is not credited because Jimmy Page's only caveat to allow them to use the guitar riff in the song was that no other guitar player could be credited on the song other than himself.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some shitty, like, petty behavior.
It is. And another funny thing with that ran over budget. That song cost over $1 million to record because Puff Daddy had made the comment he didn't know who Jimmy Page was. He's like, oh, I'd like to see Jimmy Page, meaning I'd just like to see a picture of Jimmy Page. They thought he wanted to see Jimmy Page while they recorded the song. This was back, obviously, before we had all this internet and whatnot. So they literally bought 4 hours of satellite time during the Winter Olympics at the cost of like $300,000 so Puff Daddy could see Jimmy Page play the guitar.
That's awesome.
And another little bit of trivia, they actually...
That was before Zoom, right?
It was. And they pulled the bass guitar out of storage that John Paul Jones actually played on the original Kashmir for Tom Morello to play.
I think I'm going to listen to this song after this podcast and before we do After Dark.
Maybe we'll play it on After Dark so we can get shut down and then we can start After Dark over again.
But I have a great idea. Why don't we end After Dark with it?
So that way when they shut us off.
So when it's shut off, we're done for the day. Why don't we do that? Let's come on. Fuck the system. Listen, it's using the system to your advantage. If you know that YouTube will cut you off for playing copyrighted material, then you play copyrighted material when you are done with your show.
Sons of bitches. All right. Do we have anything else this week, Brian?
Hold on. Let me go through my notes. I know you like to joke that I don't have notes. We talked about Saturday Night Live. We talked about the threat to the Michigan governor. I did the corrections. the CDC is refusing to abide by the White House's blocking of cruise ships. I don't know if we really want to talk about that, but apparently the White House has overridden the CDC's judgment that cruise ships should not be docking or taking off from American ports.
As a man who owns stock in both Carnival Cruise Line and Norwegian Cruise Line.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
These ships need to sail.
What is going on with their stock, if I may ask?
So I bought them after their stocks plummeted. So
okay.
Norwegian is actually up and Carnival is fairly flat.
Now, how's Pacific Drilling?
Still taking a significant loss at this point.
Okay. Well, what's good is that I will be using the money I've lost on Pacific Drilling based on your bad investment advice. I'm going to be using the capital gains loss to be applied against the profits that I'm showing in all of my other investments. Literally, if you look at it, it is green next to every investment I've made except for Pacific Drilling.
So let me ask you this, Brian. Have you lost more than $900 on Pacific Drilling?
No, not at all. Why?
Because you lost that much money in a strip club. So as long as I don't cost you more money than a strip club, I feel like I'm doing my job.
But I got something at the strip club. I was able to feel titties. Not tits. Titties. T-I-D-D-I-E-S.
Titties.
Able to feel them. I was able to, let's face it, I was a drunken mess in there. Who knows? I may have just been feeling like neck fat for all I know. I'm like,
All right. Anything else, Brian, or do you want to wrap this up and we can get ready for After Dark?
I think we are good to go. Donald Trump, best of luck. Mike Pence, best of luck. Biden, Kamala, best of luck. And I love America.
We will know next week. The next presidential debate is supposed to be next Thursday night. So we'll see if that actually happens.
We'll be doing our podcast during that virtual debate.
People will have a very difficult decision to make that night, whether they watch us or the debate. Check out RonandBrianPodcast.com for all things Ron and Brian, social media,
merch, like podcast, swag,
merch, Patreon, all that good stuff. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you could, be so kind, hop on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a written review of the show, help us get up in the rankings there. Brian, anything else for the good of the cause?
I love you, and I love everybody watching right now.
All right, love you guys as well. Thank you for joining us.